give you a little challenge here before I start into the sermon. And I don't know what the difference between a challenge and a sermon is. It all applies to the Christian life. But this week, as most autumns come, as most falls are here, my wife and I take a short little vacation. And we go out with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. We've done it, I don't know how many times we've done it, 8 or 9 times we've done it now. But again, I know some people go, oh, you're going away. Well, I've done it for like 9 years in a row now. So kind of was doing it before I got here, and we're still doing it. But we always go out together. It's just a good time of being with one another. But something happened that just kind of, whenever it does, you know, I just kind of shake my head. And again, I give the challenge. I hope you don't do it, okay? I hope you don't. But when we were there, one of the opportunities we had was on Monday morning. We went to Stanton, Virginia, beautiful town, a lot of rich history there. Woodrow Wilson Presidential Library is there, and what a great place. We stayed in the Stonewall Jackson Hotel, downtown hotel. I mean, if you think of Southern elegance, that's the hotel we stayed in. Unbelievable place. And I thank my brother-in-law that he is so good on the computer, because he can get places like that for like free, okay? He really does. And I tell people, we stayed 3 nights for way less than you usually spend 1 night there. He gets these packages. But on Monday morning, this lady shows up, and it was pre-planned, and she was going to give us a tour of the town. And how it works is we all get in the car, and she prefers to drive. So she says, I don't have to keep telling the driver, pull over, stop, do this. She can just drive. She has keys, so she can get us into different buildings in the town that others would never have access to. But that when she first started, she just said, now, I understand that you'd like to see some of the architecture and the history of the place, and I know that you want to look at some of the churches. You were interested in the churches of Stanton. And she kind of said something like, is there a particular reason why you like the churches or whatever? And they kind of pointed to me, okay, and said, you know, I think my wife said, well, my husband is a pastor. And so, you know, we would have interest in the churches and the church history in the town or whatever. And she went on to say, oh, well, what kind of church do you pastor? And again, to make it easy so people understand it, we basically said, well, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, we don't want to leave them out like I'm the only Christian in the group, you know. You know, we all go to independent Baptist churches is what we go to. And she goes, oh, okay. And she goes, well, that really makes a difference, because now I know how to talk to you and gear my stories to you, knowing that, you know, you're Christians. Now, what thought just came across your mind? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now I know how to kind of watch. And she kind of hinted, like, okay, that's a good warning to me as to how to talk to you. I'm glad I know that up front or whatever. Again, going through it, you know, we're trying to do something. You know, all these beautiful churches that you have in downtown Stanton, which one do you go to? You know, trying to get the gospel and find. And she said, well, I think she said she goes to the Reformed Presbyterian Church, okay? And so you're like, you know, you're just kind of like, okay, well, you know, we're going after. But here's my challenge, okay? Do you talk different when you find out you're around a pastor? I hope you don't, okay? Maybe I ought to say it this way. Now, don't take me literal, but follow my thought. Maybe you shouldn't talk different when you get around me. Because if you do, your kids know you're a hypocrite. So just keep cussing in front of me, so at least they know you cuss in front of the pastor, but you're not a hypocrite. Does that make sense to somebody or whatever? Because if you say, well, hey, kids, the pastor's coming over, we got to clean up how we talk and how we act because the pastor's coming to the house or whatever, your kids see right through that, okay? So, again, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not telling you to talk like you do every day when you're in front of me. I would rather tell you how you talk when you're in front of a pastor or somebody you clean your language up for. Talk like that every time. Does that make sense to you? Don't clean your language up and cater your stories. Whether therefore you eat or drink, and whatsoever you do. Now that's big, isn't it? The whatsoever you do is everything now, okay? Everything. Make sure you do it all to what? The glory of God, all right? I've told the story before. Visage Auto Parts, Westport, Massachusetts. When I would walk in the door, the guy who had his counter there would always make sure that he greeted me nice and loud. Okay, so the rest of the men knew that the preacher from up the road is here, and we got to change our language. Because, again, until they found out I was a pastor, I listened how they talked. And let me tell you, they talk really bad in there. And so he would say, oh, hey, preacher, how you doing? That was a sign to the rest of the guys in the store, clean up our language for the next few minutes, the preacher's here. Okay, again, don't do that, folks. We ought to talk like God's with us all the time. because the truth of the matter is what? He is. So that's not the sermon, but it's a good one, isn't it? That'll preach, won't it? But watch how you talk. I mean, I don't even know what I want to tell you to watch how you talk. Just talk like a Christian all the time. That's what we're supposed to do. And again, glorify God. And one of the best ways you can glorify God is with your mouth, is it not? And is there a better way than that? There's other ways, but that's a great way to do it. So so if you start doing tours of Bellefonte, and I get in your car, and you say, "Well, Pastor, I'm going to have to clean up my stories now because you're in the car. You got the wrong business going here," or whatever. So again, we've got to watch our mouths, and let's make sure that again the grace of God is on our lips also. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so you might know how you ought to answer every man. What's that? Colossians 4:6. I have my Bible open to Luke chapter 10, but also, again, I give before you Jeremiah 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. What I want to speak to you about this morning is just how are you doing on your list? And that's what I called it down there. Did you get your list done? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you might be with us. Help us as we look here at things that are just practical, I believe, Lord, that you would help us to see how you need to be number one and you need to be our priority in our lives. Lord, teach us that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The summer's over, basically. When are they changing the time? Okay, so by the time we come back here next week, the time will be changed, okay? I don't know what your opinion is on it. Do you like it or do you not? Which way do you like it, okay? I don't know. I'm telling people right now in my life, after supper activities don't happen much anymore, okay? I was telling Jane Weaver the other day, I walked into my shed, my tool shed or whatever, and my bicycle was like, "Hey, I'm still alive. Where you been?" Okay? Well, you all know I did a 100-mile bike ride, and I did a lot of riding on that bike, and now I've just kind of neglected the bike. But a lot of my riding was after supper. You know, I eat supper and then tell my wife, "Hey, I'm headed out on a bike ride," and get back in before dark. Now you eat supper, and what happens? It's dark, so I don't really ride much anymore, okay? But the problem is I get up in the morning to go running. Somebody tell me what running's like in the morning. It's dark. I kind of want the time change. I've already lost my after supper activities, okay? But I'd sure like to run in the morning when it's got some more light to it. So I'm looking forward to the time change. So when I get out in the morning, it's a little bit more light. So summer's based, and I think, I don't know what you call is the end of summer. But when they change the clocks, you say summer's done, okay? Definitely over. And activities change and all that. And the practical thing I have for you is going into the summer, whether you wrote it down or not, did you have a list of things you wanted to get done this summer before the snow came? Most of us do. Maybe some of you are like, no, but my wife and I, we're kind of like list people, okay? I mean, we did an event yesterday, okay? I mean, you start writing lists, chalking things off a list. Did you get it all done, and all those things. And, we got an event done yesterday. Now there's a whole new week coming up and a whole new list that has to be done. But I'm a list kind of guy, okay? I like lists. I like to do things. I like to get things done. And going into the summer, okay, as the summer was coming, I had four big things I put on my list that I wanted to do this summer, okay? Four big things. Now, you'll see that they're all basically house-related, okay? But four big things. Number one, the railroad ties or landscaping timbers back around the shed were rotted. And a couple of years ago, I had bought very cheaply some landscaping cinder blocks or blocks. Or they're not cinder blocks, but they're decorative blocks, like we have here at the church. I bought decorative blocks for like 25 cents a piece the place was going out of business. And so I got all these piles behind the shed. And this was the year I was going to take those rotten landscaping timbers out, and I was going to put those beautiful decorative blocks all around my wife's flower bed back there. Okay, so that was one thing I wanted to do. And I tell people, I don't do that for a living, so it's not easy work. And I tell people, those things weigh 80 pounds apiece, and in order to plant one in the ground, you have to put it in the hole and pick it out seven times before you finally put it in and decide it's level enough to stay there. Has anybody ever done this job? It's in and out, it's in and out. So that was big. The other thing was, some of you know that the side of my house needed re-siding from the fire that took place, and I'd never gotten around, so I wanted to re-side the side of my house and get that bad siding off of there. and get it done. Number three, my wife wanted another flower bed in the yard because we had some bushes and trees at the house that were taken out for a building project, and we needed a place to put them back in the ground, so she wanted another flower bed around the house. And fourth of all, I have that structure that I've put over my deck, which we thoroughly enjoy, and I want to finish putting the soffit and fascia on it and putting lights in it and put the soffit and fascia on and get it all done. Okay, that's the big things that I had. Four big things. Man, I'm going to do these things. You know, get the landscaping blocks in around there. Get the new flower bed made side to side of the house and get the thing done. Okay, you know what? Summer's over. I got the blocks laid in the ground, folks. Got that all done. That flower bed was beautiful. Even it made it a little bit bigger than it used to be. And they got that all done. And that it looks beautiful. And every time I go back there, I'm like, wow, I will never have to do that again because these things should not rot like wood. Is anybody with me on that or whatever? And my neighbor, once I did it, who has the house beside me, the new house, he's like, do you do that for other people? He said, because we're thinking about putting timbers in here, and after I saw you do that, he said, that's like the way to go. You never have to do it again. You know, and I kind of told him, I will help you do it, but I'm just not coming over to do it. I don't need that hassle in my life. But I said, if you want to figure out, do something, we can work on it or whatever. Got that done. When that was done, you know, I started looking at the side of the house, and boy, I'm going to have to go get scaffolding and all that. And I said, you know what, I'm not getting scaffolding. I got a ladder. You know, I can side the house with a ladder. I don't need scaffolding. So sure enough, got the siding in the house. And, you know, I just decided that I was going to go up. Now, you just tell me that I don't know what I'm doing if you guys do this for a living. But I decided that I was going up. And as I went up, I was going to tear the siding off and put the new siding on. So by the time I got to the top, I was done. Okay. Now, if you're a siding person, you know it can be done. You just got to tuck under sometimes or whatever. But I like that because I knew I could work an hour a day here and there. And if I got this far, and if I kept it in the same rows that it was, I could just reattach the old stuff on the new, and it was weather tight for the night. Aren't I smart? Okay. But I did. I went up, sided my side of my house, got it all done. Okay. And you know, like I said, did it with the ladder or whatever. Got it all done. Looks good. No more do I drive in and look at my house and go, oh, I got to put new siding on that house. I got it all done. The new flower bed, we came up with a wonderful idea where we wanted to put the flower bed and the burning bush and the rose bush that we took out. Got that all done, made a nice new triangle. And even with some of the sod that came out where we put the new place, I took the sod and we replanted another place in the yard where grass wasn't growing very well. And that took off and the yard's looking good. And then I go out and sit on my deck and look up and go, ain't getting done. It's not going to get done this year. Not going to get done, okay? It's not. I really wanted to have the lights in there and, you know, and put the soffit and fascia, if everybody knows what I'm talking, you know, so that when you look up under my deck, you don't see any wood. It's all beautiful, vinyl and everything. It didn't get done. Now, I just come to people and say, so what do you say? What do you say? You know, now, maybe some of you are out there and you say, well, Pastor, my list was done by June, okay? Well, God bless you. I didn't get mine done, okay? It's not going to happen. And, you know, I'm all of a sudden thinking, well, nope, not going to get done. So, what do you think of me? Four things on the list, and what? I didn't get them done. Got three out of the four done, happy with them, didn't get it done. Can I tell you what? Well, why didn't I get it done? Can I tell you, I didn't get it done because I was lazy. It wasn't because I was lazy. You know why I didn't get it done? There was other things to do. There was a lot of other things to do in life, okay? And putting soffit and fascia up on the deck was whatever. It didn't get it. Now, I guarantee you, unless God sends a tornado in or something, it'll be there when spring comes and we'll get it, okay? Unless one of you here wants to do it, you know, next Saturday for me or whatever, but I don't want you to do it because I want to do it. I like doing things like that. Now, I don't know exactly how to do it all, but I'll learn and I'll get it figured out. But it's not going to get done. And that's why it kind of came to that verse, okay? Again, the verse is the harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we're not saved. There was a list in that verse. And it seems to me that the people there in Jeremiah's day was basically, they got their barns full of grain. The harvest is ended. We got it done. Cross that off the list, okay? We got it all done. But the last thing on the list is what? We're not saved. Can I just do this with you? Wouldn't it have been a whole lot better if the verse went this way? We are saved, but we didn't get all the wheat into the barn. But this way, as you read it in the Bible, it says what? Oh, the wheat's in the barn, and we're not saved. Now, it brought me up to different stories. I'm not preaching on all of them, but the one story brought me up is in Luke chapter 12, there's a man that we call a rich fool. Remember, his fields brought forth bountifully? What am I going to do? Well, I'm going to have to pull down my barns and do what? Build bigger ones. Okay? And sure enough, he's going to pull them down, and here he is. He says, look, I'm going to take my ease. I'm going to sit back and say, eat, drink, and be merry. The wheat is in. The barns are pulled down. The bigger barns are made. Man, I have got so much, I can take it easy. And God came along and said, thou fool. Now, I'm going to paraphrase, your wheat's in the barn, but I'm not in your heart. You fool. It would have been better for him to say, you know what? I got saved this summer, but I didn't get all the wheat in the barn. Okay? Some of the wheat didn't make it in, and probably the wheat that didn't make it in was the wheat that he had no place for because the barns weren't torn down and put back up. So he got a sufficient amount of wheat in, but he couldn't get it all in because he didn't make the bigger barns. But wouldn't it be better to say, you know what? The wheat may not all be in the barns, but you know what? My relationship with God is on track. Again, if you're saying, well, Pastor, you didn't get your deck done, what happened? Well, I spent some days in Panama telling people about Jesus that had never heard about him. You know what? If that's what it takes and I didn't get my deck done, who cares about the deck? Is anybody with me on that or whatever? By the way, you know what the book of Ecclesiastes says, and you hate to mention this, is a lot of times people that do building projects in the book of Ecclesiastes, you build the project, and then somebody else sits on the deck and enjoys it. Because you died right after you did it. Okay? So maybe that's why I'm not doing it. Okay? But it's almost like we spend all our labors to build something, and then who gets to enjoy it? The person after us, but we don't get to enjoy it ourselves. You know? So, again, which means, you know, if you don't get some things on your list done physically, who cares? Who cares? You know, if you're doing other things for God. And again, it's not because I sat in the house and didn't do anything all summer long. There's plenty of things to do. Plenty of things I had to do. I tell people, I don't know how you are, but it takes me a while to prepare sermons. It does. I'm not one of these guys that can go in and look at a page. I had a pastor one time, I said, how long does it take you to write a sermon? Oh, 10, 20 minutes, I'm done. I'm like, wow, how do you do that? Okay? To me, you struggle with them sometimes. You know, and if somebody say, well, what are you going to do this Saturday? Well, why don't you get up there and start putting some softened fascia on your deck? Because I got 3 sermons on Sunday, and the week went such a way that I didn't get to study sufficiently like I wanted. And so it did come down on Saturday. Instead of nailing things up on the deck, I got to study. And I didn't get to them. You know, I told somebody the other week, they said, how's your week going? I said, well, out of the 7 sermons I have to preach this week, 4 of them are done. I still got 3 more to go. But I'm getting there. But you know what? If I would come in some morning and say to you, now listen, folks, I don't have a sermon prepared because I had to nail softened fascia up on my deck and I thought that was more important than writing sermons, what would you all say? You got it backwards. Now, what I'm trying to give you in the challenge, and again, as we'll look at it, there are certain things on your lists that if you don't get some of them done, who cares? It's okay that they didn't get done. Right? Now, I'm not preaching laziness. I do believe the book of Proverbs, and somebody tells me, doesn't the book of Proverbs have proverbs about being lazy and being diligent? So I'm not here on that, okay? I'm not here to say be lazy, don't be diligent. No, be diligent. But there are certain things on your list that if they don't get done, it's okay. But there are certain other things on lists, and it may be a separate list, and if these things don't get done, it's not okay. Is everybody following me through? Now, I took you the story. Had Sean read it about 2 ladies that were around Jesus. Were you there in Luke chapter 10? I don't want to give Martha a bad rap. And as my wife and I were talking about this story this week, as I was going to preach on it, she goes, you know, I think sometimes Martha gets a bad rap. Okay? And so I don't want to give you a bad rap on Martha. But again, you'll notice that Martha was cumbered, it says there in the text. I think you'll find the word cumbered in there. Again, she was careful, worried about things. And again, as she was entertaining in her house, and that's what we'll call it, and Jesus was coming with maybe his disciples, I mean, she wanted everything just right. Okay? Everything had to be done just right. And again, I understand, ladies, when you put on a meal and you bring people over and you entertain in your house, you want it to be done just right or whatever. Okay, so that everything is done good or whatever. I remember going to somebody's house in Massachusetts, and when my wife and I went over there, we went over with another couple or two, if I got it straight or whatever, but we sat down there in the living room, and he said, "We're so glad you're here, because this is the kind of entertaining we like to do. We do no cooking when people come over. There's no cooking done. Nothing is prepared. So I'm going to divide up jobs, and we're all going to go cook and get this meal ready." I'm like, okay, question, what are we having? Steak and lobster, I'm in. I don't care what I got to do right now, I'm in, okay? But he told me, you're going out and firing up the grill, and you're going to cook the steaks, and somebody else was throwing the lobsters in the pot, and somebody else was doing it. And it was kind of a different experience, because usually when you go to everybody's house, what happens? You sit down and everything's done. The ladies went in and started working on salads and, you know, those kind of things or whatever. So that was a little different, but when I stopped and thought about it, it was still a lot of fun, okay, that we had there or whatever. And by the way, steaks and lobsters don't take that long to cook. Okay, it's not like cooking a big meal that you got to put it in the oven for 3 hours and we're going to sit around. Okay, how long does it take to cook a lobster? Like 5 seconds? Okay, and I like my steak like rare, medium rare. So, you know, that takes, what, less than 5 seconds. So it wasn't hard to cook the meal. But usually, ladies, when somebody comes over, you want everything done and just perfect. Okay, and all of a sudden, she's realizing that I've got this list of things to do. Napkins on the left with the forks and spoons and knives on the right. And we've got to have the drink cups and the coffee cups. And we've got to have everything done just right. And, you know, we've got to have everything the right temperature. And we're trying to get it all to come out of the oven. By the way, I don't know how, ladies, how do you get everything to come out of the oven at the right time? You know, if I was cooking, you know what I would do? I would throw the salad on and say, okay, your mashed potatoes are ready. Eat them, okay? And now here comes the lima beans. You know, the turkey will be done in a little bit. And sorry about the gravy, but it's not ready yet because the turkey's not out. But those mashed potatoes, just put butter on them or do something. I don't know how to get it all out at the same time. I would cook one thing at a time, okay? I'm not a cook, and you all know that, all right? But again, she wants everything done just right. And all of a sudden, she complains. And I think because she looks at her list of things that have to be done, and she's thinking, if Mary would just help me with this list, we could get it all done, and I'm going to get Jesus to get Mary off of the floor and help me. And she does not get the reaction she thinks she's going to get. She thinks that when she takes Mary to Jesus and says she's not doing anything on the list, that Jesus is going to say, Mary, you need to help your sister. Now, do you think that maybe that's what she was... And what did she come up with? Okay, paraphrased in principle, what I'm trying to tell you is, Jesus said, there are certain lists, and if they don't get done just right, or don't get done at all, it's okay. But there are other things on lists that you better make sure they get done. Is it making sense to everybody? Okay? I hope you understand that. That's the principle I'm teaching this morning. Did you get your list done? The next question that you ought to be asking me is this. What list? What list? Okay, well, the house list that I have and all the things I wanted to get done around the house, didn't get them all done. It's okay. Again, here's something I'm suffering with right now. You ready to hear what I'm suffering with? Okay, it's okay, but watch this. In my neighborhood, I seem to be the guy in the neighborhood that knows how to fertilize, feed, and weed, and feed my grass. Because I'm the one that in the neighborhood, everybody looks at my yard and says, you don't have any dandelions. And I don't. If I see a dandelion, it slipped in somehow. But I know exactly when to buy the weed and feed, when to put it on, and I don't have dandelions. And I usually work pretty hard to keep my grass looking fairly good. It takes me 35 minutes to cut my grass. There's times when my wife can say to me, honey, we're going to eat in about 30 minutes. I can go cut the grass and be ready for supper. That's all the longer it takes me. So my work at my grass is not that laborious. If you're thinking, whoa, he must spend all day on his grass. No, I don't do anything, really. Okay, I just cut it real quick and I'm done. All right. But right now, I haven't cut my grass for 5 weeks. 5 weeks. Everybody's probably looking at him and said, is he sick? Is there something wrong with him? Okay. Now, can I tell you, in the last 5 weeks, it hasn't grown much. Now, if it was the middle of June and I hadn't cut my grass, somebody tell me what it would look like. But it hasn't grown a whole lot right now. And by the way, the leaves are covering it so they can't see the grass anyway. But you know what? Everybody around me has been raking their leaves, cutting their grass, and I haven't been. And somebody says, why not? I haven't had a half an hour to go out and do it. And by the way, the half an hours that I do have, somebody tell me when they are. The sun's already down. Now, I don't know if my neighbors would appreciate me going out and putting a headlamp on and cutting my grass. And you know what? I look at my grass, and you know what I say? It's okay. It's okay. Now, I think tomorrow it's on the list. I'm cutting my grass tomorrow. I think I am, okay? If Bob Mahalik doesn't need me for all day, I know I have to sub for him for a little bit tomorrow. But if he doesn't need me all day, I'm going to get it done tomorrow. And hopefully by tomorrow at lunchtime or supper time, my neighbors are all going to come back from work, and their houses are going to look bad compared to mine, okay? But for 5 weeks, I haven't cut my grass, right? That's unusual. But you know what? I'm not a slave, and I'm not there. Now, I had plans to do it, but Jim Wilson died. And his son called me up and said, well, you know, Mom and I really want you to do the funeral. Can you do it? No. I got to cut my grass. How's that float? Is everybody following me through? How's that float? That doesn't work at all. Other things have come up, okay? You know, you can tell people your grass needs cut, but you know what? There's other lists that need to be done. Am I right about that? You know? And again, if you don't think I'm right about that, at the end of Luke chapter 9, Jesus was given reasons by people why I can't come and follow you. Does everybody remember that? They didn't fly. There was another time that Jesus was given reasons why people couldn't come to a banquet that was being given. Those reasons didn't fly. It's okay that you don't do these things. You know what? Let the dead bury the dead. But you need to do what? Follow me. Well, I've got other things to do. So again, you can see here as we're looking here, and I'm not preaching on this, I'm preaching on the principle, okay, that Mary found the good thing. Now, here's something that I want us to do in our Bibles, and I'm done because I think I've taught the principle, but I want you to get something in your Bible, please, if you can do that, okay? Notice verse 39. Verse 39, that we're talking about Martha, she's the she. Martha had a sister called Mary, okay, Luke 10:39. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. This is what I want you to do. If you don't want to mark your Bibles, it's okay. Mark your memory. If you'll notice, the word Mary is in that verse. And here's the other word that's in the verse. Feet. Do you see it there? Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Where's Martha? In the kitchen. Jesus is teaching. She's not hearing anything, okay? We had the party yesterday. I was around my aunt and uncle and my parents, and I was telling somebody one of the neat things about it. In my parents' wedding, my aunt and uncle were in it, and my aunt, she wasn't married yet, but they're in it. And my parents celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. My aunt and uncle, Aunt Honey Lou. Everybody knows the name Honey Lou. Some people, we remember Honey Lou. They've been married 65 years, I think it is. And my other aunt and uncle have been married, what did they say, 55 years. Sitting there at the table, a wedding took place 60 years ago, and the people involved in that wedding, 65 years married, 60 years married, and 55 years married. Folks, that's pretty good, is it not? Okay, that's pretty good. But again, we were talking and laughing or whatever, you know, and my uncle said, well, I noticed when you went to read something, you pulled out a pair of glasses there. And he kind of called me son. He does that. Well, son, I noticed you pulled out your glasses when you read. And I said, yeah, glasses go on, hair goes out. You know, I said, I'm getting older or whatever. And then he said to me this, I don't know if you were there. Then he said, has the hearing started to go yet? And I said, what? He said, has the hearing started to go yet? Okay. She says selective. Now, my younger brother was sitting there, and he said to my uncle, he goes, you know, I'm a mechanic, and I'm around machines all the time. He goes, mine's definitely going. You know, I'm having problems because of all the machines that I use around the buses and the trucks. You know, so mine's going. And I had to say, yeah, it is, because it used to be that my wife could be in any part of the house, and I could be in another part of the house, and she was carrying on a conversation with me, and I'm hanging right in there listening to everything she says. Now, if she's in the kitchen, I'm in the dining room, I'm not hanging in there anymore. You know, and I have to come to the kitchen and go, I know you were talking to me. And she'll tell you I do this. I know you were talking to me, but would you turn around and look at me right now and now say everything you just said? Okay, because
I'm not getting it, you see. And it's, and like I said, I tell the joke, it's like I told people my wife is being hard, is getting hard of hearing. Okay? And I decided to run a test, and she was in doing the dishes, so I was way back in the house, and I said, "Can you hear me?" She didn't say anything. So I moved about halfway closer, and I said, "Honey, can you hear me?" And I knew she was getting deaf, but I didn't think it was this bad. And then I walked right behind her, and I said, "Honey, can you hear me?" And she said, for the third time, "Yes." It's a joke, folks, okay? But I said to my uncle, "My hearing's starting to go. I know where I am in the sermon. You ready?" Martha's in the kitchen. What's she hearing Jesus say right now? She's banging, pots are banging, things are boiling. Jesus is talking. It's the Word of God in her house. What is she hearing? Nothing. And yet there is Mary sitting at her, at Jesus' what? Feet. Wow. Now, I just put this. How close do you sit to people when they're talking? Sitting at their feet, you can't even get closer than that. Am I right about that? All the tension is being given right there. Go with me, if you will, please, to John chapter 11. Now, I know I've given you a homework assignment. I told you to do something. Notice the word Mary. Notice the word feet. Again, if you know the story in John 11, hopefully you do. Lazarus has died, and Jesus has now gone to the village where Lazarus has died, there to Bethany. Martha runs out to see him. I don't think Mary knew that he was there, but as soon as Mary realizes that he is there, again, she's going to run out to see Jesus. Okay. Notice verse 28. I'll give you this, where the assignment is, but verse 28. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. So she's going to run from her house out of town. The Jews then who were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his what? Feet, saying unto him, "Lord, thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Notice you see the word Mary in verse 32. What's the other word you see in there? Feet. You see the word feet. There's Mary at Jesus' feet. Okay? And so that you understand that. Go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Should be right there. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the what? Feet of Jesus. You find the word Mary, you find the word what? Feet. And every time you see the word feet, whose feet? Jesus' feet. Now, I did miss one. Let's go back to John chapter 11. Notice verse 1. We'll start reading there, John 11. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his what? Feet with her hair. And we just read that in John chapter 12. So basically, in John chapter 11, you could almost say it's that Mary who is going to do it. But since John is writing, it's all history. But you haven't been introduced to it yet as you go through the text in John. But basically, I've showed you that Mary is mentioned in the Bible pretty like 4 times. She's mentioned in Luke 10. She's mentioned twice, sort of, in John chapter 11. And she's mentioned in John chapter 12. And every time you find Mary, you find her where? Jesus' feet. Now, I got a question for you. I think Mary went to heaven. If you were going to look for Mary, where would you look? Makes sense to me that she's probably where? At Jesus' feet. Because that's where she goes. So I don't know what her list looks like. Okay? And maybe her list looks something like this when the day is done. Didn't get the meal cooked today. Didn't get the house cleaned. didn't trim the rose bushes and get the weeds picked out of the flower bed. But on the bottom it says, but I did sit at Jesus' feet. How's your list doing? It's okay. Didn't get the weeds pulled. It's okay. Didn't get the grass cut. It's okay. Didn't get the softened fascia up on the deck yet. It's okay. It's only okay if I've done what now? Spend some time with Jesus. Now don't say, well, it's okay. Pastor said it's okay not to do my work around here. I didn't say that. But it's okay if some projects didn't get done because you spent some time with Jesus. That's what's most important. Did everybody hear that? Was it not Charles Mueller who said, and I'm pretty sure it was him, couldn't find it, but somebody told me that Charles Mueller said, I have an extra busy day today. I'm going to have to get up an extra 2 hours to spend time with God before I get started on my list. Did he say that? Some people say, you've heard George Mueller. Was that who it was? I think it was. Okay. I'm going to have to get up an extra 2 hours early to spend extra time with God because of all the things on my list, all the things I have to do today. How'd the list go for the summer? Did you get everything done? You know? No, we don't get it all done. But I hope it's not because you're lazy. I hope it's because sometimes there's more important things to do than just the list before us. I hope there is. I hope maybe some of the things that are on your list before things is Jesus and people. Jesus and people. Does that make sense? If people need some time, go spend some time with people. If you don't get your list done, it'll be okay. And again, as you go back to basically Luke chapter 10, when Jesus just sums up about Mary, it says in this, and this is what I end with, Jesus said in Luke 10:42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. When she looked at her lists and realized she couldn't get it all done, she chose to do the best things. And those were sit at Jesus' feet. Get the challenge? Let's go out and get the list done. The right list. Because certain things, it's okay. And if you drive by my house tomorrow and the grass didn't get cut, it's probably going to be okay. Okay? Probably okay. Because I really want to get it done. But something else more important may have come up. And if you call me and say, Pastor, I just got taken to the hospital, and I say, I can't come, I have to cut my grass, that won't work, will it? It won't work. Let's make sure we choose what Mary did, the good part. Father, I pray that you might help us. Lord, I heard somebody say the other day that we're not human beings, we're human doings. We always want to do something. We've got to be doing something to feel like we've got any worth. And so, Lord, we sometimes make lists, and we try to get the list done, and we evaluate our lives about how the list got done. But Lord, maybe we be like Mary and not worry about how things got done, but how we spent time with you and with others. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be industrious people, diligent, doing the things that life demands of us. But Lord, most of all, that we would build our relationship with you every day. And if things don't get done because of that, it's okay. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and you want us to spend time with you. And as we draw nigh to you, you draw nigh to us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.